Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot, Julius.
He scores!
He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here is Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to WFUV's Pick and Pod, the exclusive podcast dedicated to talking all things NBA. And we've got a good one today, guys, talking this first round. It's been an exciting first round. I've got George to my right. I've got Brody to my left, otherwise known as Angel, but we call him Brody. And we've got some interesting matchups tonight. We've got OKC Memphis at 9:30. We've got Denver and LA, the Clippers, at 10 p.m. But then we got to get to the elephant in the room.
We got the big one. The big one.
The New York Knicks playing Game 3 tonight at Detroit after a thrilling Game 1 for New York that saw a 21-0 run in the fourth quarter, which was, me being there is incredible to watch. It just, I'd never seen anything quite like that run, even going back to last season, which was electric. And it felt like Game 1, and George may agree with me on this, it felt like Game 1 of this series was almost the spirit of the 2024 New York Knicks team coming back to life.
So, concerning that game, I was terrified after it. Because for us to need a 21-0 run
right
to win,
yeah,
is just, it sounds, seems like a bad omen. While the run, yes, it was amazing to witness, you can't count on that every night. You can't count on your team going on a 21-0 run every night. I was in the house for game two. We pulled up, I think it was an 11-2 run in the fourth to cut the lead to two, and then after that you have three chances to tie and or take the lead, and you blow them all. Mikal Bridges blew two of them. Jalen Brunson had a good look at the end to cut it to one, and then you also have Jalen Brunson missing a free throw. You foul bait into a three point foul. And you have a chance to tie the ball game, and you miss the free throw. These are the things that your superstars cannot be doing. And this first game in Detroit may be the most important game of the is the most important game of the series.
I was going to say, it's not maybe. No. This is the most important game.
This game one in Detroit is the most important game of our season so far until we eventually get seven in the TD Garden. In a couple weeks.
Knock on wood.
We'll be there. Hopefully it doesn't have to be
seven. Why
are
you laughing, Brody?
No,
just
not.
Wait. We'll be playing it in the Thunderdome.
I would love to see that.
If this first game in Detroit is so incredibly important because Detroit is a difficult town to win in. I'm sure you all saw all over Twitter how the fans are trying to sabotage the Knicks, pull fire alarms, poison their food, keep them up all night. Which that dirty city, I almost slipped up and used some improper language. that dirty waste bucket of a city is going to attempt to sabotage our Knicks, and I'm going on a tangent. Wow, game three is the most important game of the year. Knicks victory leads to the series ending in five, and that's all I have to say.
Listen, I'm going to give you my unbiased opinion since I'm not the Knicks fan here in the room.
Here we go.
I have nothing bad to say about the Knicks. I just
first time.
You just expect better, you know, after game 2, because there were some people who underwhelmed, you know, even though on the scoreboard Bridges had 19 points, 3 steals.
They were bad,
right?
19.
It wasn't a consistent 19 points, and then when it came down to the wire, like, he didn't come up clutch. OG had a bad game. Cat had a bad game, you know. Like, you can't only rely on Jalen Brunson to win this series, because Pistons have a guy in the name of Kate Cunningham who can outright win a game by himself without any help. Like, that man can score 40 on anyone. And as much as OG is going to do his best to lock him up, listen, Cunningham is a different animal. And you get the same, you know, feels from Jalen Brunson.
Top five guard in the league?
No, for sure, top five guard in the league. And you get the same feels about Jalen Brunson. Like, that is your guy. That's he is the best player on the court between both teams. So you know he's going to get you the 30-plus points a game. And efficient 37 points he had in game two. But now it's time that for you guys to win a series like this against Detroit, especially if it's in five or six, seven, however many games it is, you need your other guys to contribute. You need Karl-Anthony Towns to be the all-star he was throughout the year. You know, he needs to average over 20 and 10 rebounds. You want Bridges and OG to have consistency on the court. You want their presence to be felt, even if it's not on the scoreboard. These are little things that if the Knicks, if their starters can kind of click, you know, Brunson will have his game. If the other stars can kind of click and showcase some talent, some, you know, like, I don't know, just any consistency on the court, then you guys should not be in these, like, late fourth quarter, I need to make a 21-0 run, I need an 11-2 run, you know, just some calm basketball towards the end. That's what the Knicks need. You don't want some chaos at the end where you have to feel you have to come back for every situation.
Yeah, I'm just glad you guys aren't hopping on the blame Tibbs narrative.
I mean, I was going to back up.
I'm starting to walk on that train.
Really?
Yeah.
Elaborate on that.
I love Tibbs. I love everything Tibbs has done. He rebuilt Chicago.
He rebuilt New York.
He worked on building Minnesota. And these are all things that you cannot ignore. I feel like with a different style of coach, because Tibbs isn't the same guy that he was. He's always ran his players hard, but he's found guys who will run this hard for him. Like he had Derrick Rose, who he ran too hard into the ground, and then was never the same. I don't want to see that with Jalen Brunson. I don't want to see JB ran too hard. Mikhail can be ran hard. Josh Hart can be ran hard. But I'm worried about Jalen Brunson. And his body cannot withstand this.
Especially since he's coming back from the ankle injury.
And,
he only had
and
a couple
also
games.
He's getting beat.
No, yeah. They're on purpose. You know, Detroit wants to be on him.
Detroit is literally beating on Jalen Brunson. And Tibbs can't play him 48 minutes a night.
Nah, in a
series where he's getting beat.
Game two, he played 44 minutes. I mean,
44 minutes is way too much. We have a little bit of a bench. We have our guards on our bench are perfectly fine. Deuce, play Deuce 20. Play Deuce 25. Campaign, give him 15. Give him 17.
Nah, I'm going to calm down on Cameron Payne. I'll give him like 10 minutes.
Buddy,
I'm sorry.
Brody's coach.
You don't want Cameron Payne on the court for more than 10 minutes.
I'll give Cam 17. I'll give Cam 15.
No, bro. I'm sorry. I've witnessed this guy in OKC and other teams, bro. Like, Cameron Payne is not an ideal backup point guard.
He didn't have a complete city behind him.
Well, okay. There's a complete city behind every player on your team. So I'm not even worried about that.
Listen, if
I was the Knicks, hold on. If I'm the Knicks, McBride is your backup point guard, in my opinion.
For sure.
I would have Shamet actually play more minutes because
he's a shooter. Me and my Landry Shamet jersey showed up to the house the other day.
And you know who's a player who needs to play in this series because of toughness and grit against Detroit?
PJ Tucker.
I don't understand. Like, I think PJ Tucker needs to have more love in this series.
I also want 1 minute from Precious.
He didn't even play last game.
And that's something I don't understand.
I'd rather Tucker than Precious. I won't lie.
Sometimes you need the size. You have Precious Dillon, who's a banger and a defensive force.
You don't need Tucker for size. He's big. That's all you need. You know, like.
But how often do you want the ball in PJ Tucker's hands?
The ball is not going to be going to him. They're not going to run plays for him. He can stay in the corner, whatever. You want him on the defensive end at all times.
But then you could do that with Precious, who's more athletic and younger and more spunky.
Yeah, Precious is spunky. I don't know. He's a funny character when he's on the court. I'm not gonna lie. He has spurts and he has reasons why he does not play in the game. I just think because Tucker is a natural-born leader as well on the court, and he just has that kind of defensive toughness. Like, it's just a toughness in his head, I feel like. Against the Detroit team, like, Detroit purposely wants to beat up on Brunson, beat up on Towns, you know, and kind of make this their life, like, hard to score. And Tucker, he would understand that assignment and do the same thing to Cade.
Doesn't that mean Cade would give P.J. Tucker 40 in 5 minutes?
Well, yes. I'm not saying that he's going to stop Cade and average less than 30.
You're just saying essentially put him in, have him close line.
You
got to
make it harder. I mean, OG's always going to stay on Cade or Mikal's Bridges. Gonna stay on Cade, yeah. But having that third guy in Tucker, I mean, I would take that.
But then back up. This is where I switch off a little bit. You said while the Knicks are on offense, you have the Pistons locking down JB and Towns. Don't you want one more scorer in there? You keep Deuce, you keep Shamit, you keep Payne. Those are scorers.
Yeah.
But then Payne's not
a scorer. He's a shooter. There's a difference between a scorer and a shooter.
Fair.
That's why I like McBride more, because he can actually score and shoot.
He has a bag. That's
like, he does have a bag. That's why I like him for a backup point guard position. And then I look at Payne and Shim as the same type of player. And who's the more consistent shooter? I mean, it's up in the air.
I give that one to Payne. Payne, but Shamit's a better scorer than Payne. Shamit is a little shifty. He's a little shifty.
I would only have him for spot positions. I'm not gonna ask him to start dribbling the ball.
He put up 30 the last game of the year. He put up 30.
Anyone could drop 30 in the last game of the year. No one was playing.
Exactly.
No one was playing.
Feed him all series. Give the ball to Landry Shamit. Get out of the way. Give him one screen to switch off. He's putting up 40.
No, bro. Just stop it right here, Ben. Please help.
Well, it's certainly been an up and down series. You know, I'm going to call back to something I was listening to on Alan Hahn's radio show. Shout out to Alan Hahn, who's a great he's awesome for halftime, post game, and also he's got a great radio show. I've met him when I've covered games, and he's from Long Island, so that's cool too. But he was talking about, besides that 21-0 run, the Knicks have not controlled this series whatsoever.
No.
Not for a minute. Besides that 5-minute 21-0 run, which is kind of crazy to think about. And that's why I agree with George over here. Tonight is the most important game of the season. And are they going to show that grit and intensity from game one? But also, they have to start out better.
Yeah,
that's been an issue the whole season in game one and game two, being down early heading into the second quarter as you finish the first. You can't start out like that. That, like, every play counts, every point counts, and you don't want to be down in the hole early, which the Knicks have found themselves in. If you're a Knicks fan, if you're Tom Thibodeau, you want to see them come right out of the gate tonight.
For sure.
And take it to Detroit. And show that the Knicks still have that New York grit, that New York toughness that they did absolutely.
They still do.
No, but not to the same extent. And even Tobias Harris actually was asked by...
Harris is a bum. Tobias Harris is overrated,
okay,
overpaid.
Okay, before we get to a rant on Tobias Harris, but there was a Newsday reporter who asked Harris today during the shoot-around if there was a noticeable difference between this year's Knicks team and last year's, because Harris played New York in...
He had the same production in both series.
Yeah. And you know what he said? He said there's a noticeable difference. There's a different kind of feeling. I'll get the exact quote from him just so we can confirm this. He says,
I take anything he says with a grain of salt. Same thing with Asar Thompson. JB isn't a struggle. Put up 38 on your head.
Listen, I'm not gonna.
Yeah. He put up 38.
This is what he said. It's a different dynamic for sure. That's all I'm gonna say. And he smirked. He thinks that the Knicks are soft. That's him saying the Knicks are soft, that they're not the same team that faces Sixers.
Tobias Harris can't be calling people soft.
No, I agree, but it shows, again, I've said this on almost every NBA podcast in discussions with people. I've talked about it endlessly. Losing Isaiah Hartenstein in the offseason was devastating. It was devastating. And you can laugh it up all you want.
There's no laughing. Brody. I love the man. I love him on my team.
Angel, what did I say before the show? Was I not talking about the importance of Isaiah Hartenstein before the show?
Nah, you were.
I was mentioning how, Ben, you were still on your way, but I was talking to Angel about it, and I mentioned how important Isaiah Hartenstein is. But then going back to what you're talking about last year, you can't compare the two. It's a different beast. They're two different teams. You can't say that last year's team would have the same production as they did last year. It's just not realistic. On paper, this team that we have this year is better. It's a better team. The impact of Julius Randle is non-existent. That's essentially a walking traffic cone who will shoot 12% from the field. Then you look at Dante DiVincenzo. As important as he was to chemistry, he wasn't a critical ball player on the court. He was your seventh man, sixth man, seventh man. These aren't pieces that are necessary to the success of the team. While the morale would be maybe better, on paper you created a better team this offseason.
Listen, I understand chemistry is important, but
so is skill.
To your point, the Knicks have better skill players. The Knicks just have the better roster. Like, they have the better starting lineup. So on paper, this series should have been done in 5 or 6. It's just mentality-wise, Detroit is coming in. This is their first playoff series since, I believe, 2019, maybe.
Yeah.
And they're coming in with this kind of...
And think about the leap that they made from last season.
Exactly.
Well.
Insane. They didn't... I don't think they won more than 30 games last year.
It was less than 30. Let's see the record.
To your point, like, they had...
I think it was 15.
15 wins?
I think it was.
Look,
it was 14.
I gave him 14. Way too many.
did you 14. Say 30?
I said, yeah, I don't, 30, no, I said, I don't think they even made it to 30.
They went from 14 to 44.
That's why I got the 30.
Yeah, okay. 30, it was 30 wins more wins.
Sixth in the East.
So they have this target on their back because they are looked at as still that team from last year that they're still developing, rebuilding, so this is just like a one-off. But no. This team is different.
This team's legit.
They have grit. They have a star in Cade. They have great great's a crazy word.
Tim Hardaway.
They have good players in Jalen Durant.
Tim Hardaway.
And Thompson. Tim Hardaway is a shooter who scores zero.
Ben and I lived with Tim Hardaway Jr. for 5 years.
Yes, we did.
No. No.
Tim, listen,
I'm not getting heart palpitations just saying his name.
He's not even the guy to worry about. You know, the guy to worry about? Dennis Schroeder. The guy to worry about? Malik Beasley.
Overrated. No.
Come on. These two. Why do these two guys cook off the bench?
Malik Beasley is a fraud.
That's also because a lot of times there's miscommunications on the pick and roll and
switch. For sure.
And that was the reason Schroeder hit the three is because there was a miscommunication
on the pick and roll. That goes back to
chemistry. Yes.
It does.
But that's why it's not a Tibbs problem. That's what
part
I'm saying.
Part of it is a Tibbs problem because he's supposed to build that chemistry through practices.
Yeah, but the players have to do that.
100%, but it's on both of them.
George, there's only so much the players can do. So only so much the coaches can do. You can lead a horse to water.
You can't force him to drink it. Yes. No, you're right, 100%.
What a quote. That was
a Mati Dembele euphemism there. I like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to look at the coaching styles. Mind you, Tibbs should be able to out-coach JB. Okay? He did it when he was in Cleveland in 2023. He should be able to do it here with Detroit. The issue I saw in game two, though, was the unfairness of the refs in that situation. There's no way that Detroit made more free throws than the Knicks attempted free throws. And there was, I won't lie, as unbiased as I can be, Karl-Anthony Towns gets fouled a lot. That man drives the paint, gets fouled a lot.
Josh Hart got backhanded. He got backhanded
on the dunk. Yeah, I saw.
And then everyone was saying, oh, Jalen Brunson flop. Cade, I pulled up the picture right here. It says 33 points on 12 free throws. Picture of Cade. Under it says King of New York, real hooper. JB put up 37 on 11 free throws. He's ruining the integrity of the game. This is unbearable.
They both have a similar style. They're gonna get the foul call if they can. I'm not even looking at both Brunson and Kay. They're going to do their thing. I'm just looking at the rest of the game. And, like, we have two physical teams here, especially with Detroit. And I would want the players to just play on, okay? Any marginal contact does not need to be called, all right, but it has to go for both sides, okay? Because there's plenty of scenarios where Detroit should be having players fouled out. I'm sorry, because, I mean, they had Thompson foul out last game, and Durant almost fouled out. Like, there should be situations where these players are closer to five fouls than not. And I kind of felt bad for the Knicks in certain situations where they didn't get the call. I hope there's some kind of consistency in game three. But again, fouls can't be an excuse for losing a game. The Knicks, to Ben's point earlier in the podcast, you want to shock the Pistons. You want to kind of stun them. So you know how you do that? You start off.
Piss off the Pistons.
Piss them off, yes. You start off hot. Start off well. Play with some grit to begin the game. Those first 5-10 minutes of the game, show the Pistons that you're here and you're not going to just let them play.
Come out to an 8-point lead, going into the middle of the.
Come out to a 28-point lead.
Eight. No. Come out 2-8. 2-8-point lead. Come out 2-8-point lead, out of the gate swinging, and then you create tempo because then
exactly like you want them to be on their feet now.
Exactly, and especially at home.
Yes,
especially at home.
That's what Detroit did to you at your building. Now you're in their building. You got to do it to them.
And going back to that, it's completely unacceptable. It's unacceptable for anybody. No team should set foot in the world's most famous arena and come out to a lead.
No, they shouldn't.
The Garden is supposed to be the most intimidating place in the world, and you're letting them walk all over you.
Listen, the last things I would say about this game, this series, is that not only is game three important, but you can't go back home down 3-1. Personally, you can't go back home tied 2-2, in my opinion.
You go back home tied 2-1.
When
you have home court at the Garden, you can go back tied 2-2.
I don't like it. I don't like it. You have to just win the game.
Because no matter what, God forbid it goes 7, you don't know when's a game 7 at the Garden.
Well, of course. You have the advantage. You have the home court, of course. Now, Detroit took the home court advantage away from you, so now you have to win a game in Detroit.
Let me just say something decisive here, and I may be wrong. If the Knicks lose tonight, they're losing the series.
I don't argue that.
I wouldn't disagree.
You say they could still win if they lose tonight?
100%, because you still have two games at the Garden.
You lose one game at home already, and then you lose a game, first game in Detroit, that is not a good sign.
It's not a good sign, but listen, you still got game four. As long as you at least come out of the first four games, tie 2-2, now you're back into a home court advantage for the Knicks. And theoretically, two games at home, one game in the road,
It's 2-2-1-1-1, right?
Yes, 2-2-1-1-1, yes.
Beautiful.
So theoretically, if you lose tonight, hopefully game four, you have to win game four.
Both of these games in Detroit are must win, no matter what.
Today is most important. Even if game four didn't go your way, winning tonight is a good sign, okay? I'd rather you win game three and lose game four than lose game three and win game four, because you're giving Detroit back-to-back wins. You're going to give them too much momentum. That game four is going to be... who knows? And now you're going back to the Garden. You want to win today to now have Detroit back on their feet for game four.
100%.
And then hopefully you win game four. Theoretically, you want to go up 3-1 in this series going back home. But if it has to be 2-2, again, you have two games left at home and one game on the road. Theoretically, based on the odds, you should still be able to win that in at least 7 games. And we've talked about it enough. This is an important game for the Knicks, and the only way that the Knicks win this game, in my opinion, is if Karl-Anthony Towns has a
standout performance.
Tonight, mark my words, Karl-Anthony Towns will have 20-10-2. 20?
I'm sorry.
No. I'm saying at a minimum. Like, if I was a betting man, hit the over 19.5 on Towns points, hit the over 9.5 on Towns rebounds, and the over 1.5 on Towns blocks.
No, yeah, he has to have that kind of performance. Minimum 20 points and 10 rebounds, I'm sorry. And then you need at least Mikal or OG, or if you can have both, to be consistent. But if you just have at least one of them,
OG,
have a good game.
OG needs to have over 18 tonight.
No, to me, Mikal and OG, either one can have the 20 or 18 and the other can have like 15. Because for both of them, their presence is still on the court, especially OG. His presence is way beyond the stat line. Like, you know he's on that court impacting the game because of his just defensive grit, especially on Cade. Even though Cade's going to still average his 30 points, it's a hard 30 points. So as long as I think one of them can play to that third option role, maybe 20 points, 18 points, but it really depends on who is the kind of quarantine talent you're going to get tonight. And of course, well, banking and praying that Brunson can continue the consistency that he has games one and two.
It's difficult for that when you're getting beat up.
No, yeah, he's going to keep getting beat up. So that's why you need Karl-Anthony Towns to be that 1B kind of player to Brunson's 1A.
For sure, for sure. I Ben, do you think we should talk about another series?
Absolutely. I just because we're a New York radio station, you know, and
Angel is somehow an Oklahoma City fan and being from Harlem. But
yeah,
like,
we're both Knicks guys.
Makes sense.
I cover the team.
Russell Westbrook this, Russell Westbrook that.
But speaking of Westbrook, his former team, let's talk OKC and Memphis. There's not much to talk about, Brody.
It's essentially OKC versus my sixth grade AAU team.
We'll play NBA 2K right now on easy mode. I'm not going to lie. Sure. Like, for me to listen, I love watching OKC basketball, especially during a season when I can rarely see them when they're not on national TV. So now that they are during the playoffs, I'm over here like by the second half, I'm like, I don't even have to watch the rest of the game. I know we won. Like, we are putting...
You guys were up by 40 at the...
That's what I'm saying. Like, OKC, listen, game one, SJ had less than 20 points. Game two...
And you won by 51.
Game two, he had like 27 points. He's not even playing to his MVP caliber level right now in the first two games, and we've blown out the Grizzlies. Now, I didn't think the Grizzlies were that bad of a team, but that's just showcase. Like, Jalen Williams is really showing now, and I said this before the playoffs started. If SGA obviously plays to how he's been playing the whole regular season, you know, that's your number one guy. But to make it to the finals, to make it a run into this West, especially when a second round possibly is the Nuggets or Clippers, you need Jalen Williams to play, like, beyond the all-star level he had during the season. Like, he has to be...
Put up 25, 5, and 6.
Yeah, that's great. Like, that's...
You want more?
No. That's great. Like, if he's doing that consistently, and an SGA consistently averages 30 points,
I keep forgetting you guys have Alex Caruso.
And then, yeah, Caruso's...
He's a dog.
He's great. He's another guy. You don't see on the stats, but he's
same,
there.
Same thing with Lu Dort.
And yeah. Caruso's been on a lot of great teams.
He's been on a lot of great teams. LA, I mean, even in Chicago, he had good runs. But we have the defense. We have the offense. We have so many pieces. Listen, your boy Hartenstein, he's low-key getting a little rest. I don't need him doing much right now. You know, he's only there to kind of try to clamp up JJJ.
You'll be thankful for his offensive rebounds.
I will.
And the blocks. And the defensive presence.
Trust me, after this round, I'm going to be thinking him heavily, if whoever it is, Zubac or Jokic that we play. I'm going to thank him.
You guys are going to be playing Zubac. I promise you guys it's going to be Zubac.
I'm begging for Jokic. I'm sorry.
Ready? Mark my words. If the Clippers win game one of that second round series, they are winning the series.
No.
Ben, do you think that's a crazy take?
No, I have a Clippers series going seven.
I don't think it's a crazy take.
No,
I think it's
Clippers are such a sleeper.
No, I agree. I agree they are, but I don't think it's a shoo-in, obviously.
I don't.
And let's talk about that series as well. Like, what?
It was funny before you got here. Me and George talked. Like, I think it's criminal that. My personal opinion, the best series of the first round, the Nuggets and Clippers, game three is on NBA TV tonight.
Yeah, how is it?
How do they put
Nuggets Clippers on NBA TV?
I'd rather OKC be there. I'm not gonna lie.
Put Thunder Grizzlies on
for TNT. I'd rather you switch that.
Games that have been blowouts.
Exactly. I'd rather
just
OKC
hear Shaq,
be on NBA
just,
TV.
Just hear Shaq spew nonsense on the mic.
I feel like game one was so back and forth. And, like, listen, you know about my Westbrook fandom. Like, when he came in clutch with the three-point field goal and then the steal that deflected off, like, that brought me back. I'm not going to lie. I was feeling great. And then game two, you know,
all this Russ Westbrook talk, but no one's talking about how important, how Jamal Murray has.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, Jamal
has been to this team.
Jamal Murray, he shows out in the playoffs. Like, he's the guy that...
every single year.
Yeah.
He'll put up like 20, 23 throughout the year. Then playoffs come.
He's a dog.
And he balls out.
I like his production. Of course, Jokic is still Jokic. It's just the Nuggets don't have anyone really besides after Murray and Jokic. That's why the Clippers should win their series. Like, the Clippers have a healthy Kawhi who's dropping 30-plus points. 21,
7, and 9. Almost cool. A triple-double for Jamal Murray last game.
Yeah, like he...
Game one.
He's consistent. He's great. His game implodes in a... not implodes. I'm sorry. That was the wrong word. Explodes in the playoffs. Like, that's the kind of production you need if you're going to beat a team like the Clippers and go into the second round and try to beat the Thunder. But the Clippers just... I mean, people thought Harden was not going to show up in the playoffs. He's been good the first two games. Kawhi is still Kawhi. Finally healthy. Norman Powell, Zubac. Like, their team is just so complete. I'm going to love this series. If this series doesn't go seven, I'll be heavily surprised.
Yeah, I'm okay. I like that take.
Yeah.
I can't even pick a winner. Like, I think either team can win it, but I think it has to go seven.
And Brody, before we wrap this thing up, unless you guys want to talk on another subject, but
I feel like there's not much more to talk about because it's the Celtics versus Paolo, and then it's another.
The Cavs have a bye.
Last game was competive.
And Lakers, T-Wolves?
Wolves in five. Angel brought up before. I was like, he said Wolves in six. I was like, no. Wolves in five.
You think so?
I mean, I'm not trying to hate because, listen.
Bron's overrated.
I'm a little hated.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to
peek for the foul. Peek for the foul.
I like the Timberwolves team better. Okay. And, listen, knowing that they stole home court, if – Timberwolves come out 3-1 going back to L.A., like, there's no chance they don't win that series. Even if they take one game at home, like, the Timberwolves series is going to go 6, in my opinion, unless the Lakers implode. Nuggets, obviously, 7, and then the Rockets and Warriors are another grit.
That's going to be a 6-game series with the Rockets winning.
The rest of the East is sweeps, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Pacers sweep, Celtics sweep.
So, last thing I want to ask you, Brody, is
what's up?
Let's say Thunder make the finals. How scared are you of Boston or Cleveland?
I'll be honest here. So, and I'll even say the Knicks. So, Cavs, Celtics, Knicks, whoever will come out the East. I don't know if scared is the correct terminology for me. I would say because we've been the best team throughout the season. I mean, our record against the East alone was like 28-1, 29-1, and the only loss we had was against the Cavs. So I'm not scared against any of the East competition, but I will know that if the Thunder find a way to just like go through the West easy, then the finals is definitely not going to be an easy matchup. The Cavs have a complete team. The Celtics have a complete team. The Knicks have
a complete team.
They have a complete offense, just not defense. But either way, like, those three teams will cause havoc on the Thunder, and it all depends on the way the Thunder win a series against whoever comes out the East if they make the finals. Is not only does SGA have to play even better than I believe his MVP level this year, but again, it goes back. Can Jalen Williams now take a step up and average more or be more productive? Can Chet have one of those games where he goes crazy? Can Hartenstein have his presence all around the court? You know, can the defense of Dort and Caruso, can the bench players of Aaron Wiggins and Carson, like, everyone has to be, Isaiah Joe too, like, everyone has to contribute no matter who you play in the finals.
I think that the Thunder need a challenge before the finals.
The challenge would be the second round. Yeah, I would say the challenge would be the second round. Even coming out the other bracket, like Timberwolves, Lakers, Rockets, Warriors, and WCF, like, that's not easy either.
So if they're facing Clippers second round,
I have the OKC in six.
But if they're facing Clippers in the second round, who are they going to face in the conference finals?
Either Minnesota or winner of Houston.
And Warriors, yeah. So winner of
Lakers,
yeah. Winner of Lakers, Timberwolves, or winner of Rockets, Warriors. I said it in a group chat of mine earlier. I said the WCF would be, and this is prior to the Jimmy Butler injury. It would be OKC versus Warriors in the WCF was my opinion. Now that Jimmy Butler could possibly be injured for a long period of time, I think the Rockets can take care of that series. And then honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rockets can beat a team like the Lakers or Timberwolves. So. Don't be shocked if you get like a genetic or boring, like 1 and 2 seeded WCF with OKC versus Rockets. And that would be a fun series because the Rockets are not a sleeper team at all.
No. Jalen Green had that one bad game when he deactivated his Instagram and lost all his aura. But then I feel like he got a lot of it back.
Yeah, for sure.
Last night. And if he stays, he's just so good.
The Rockets team is just good.
I think that Rockets team will not win a championship. They won't win a ring.
Too early.
They need another piece. No, I think I even think without another piece, they're not beating Thunder because the Thunder still have picks. Thunder still have picks.
Before the playoffs start, we have the 15th pick.
Jesus Christ.
In the draft because of Miami losing.
Jesus Christ.
I mean Miami winning. Yeah.
That's actually nasty work. But I think the Thunder's future is too big. The West is going to be dominated by them unless Minnesota grabs something.
Yeah.
If Minnesota gets KD this offseason, which is what I've been hearing.
I've heard Houston, but
I've heard Minnesota.
Okay.
But if Minnesota picks up KD, they will be the number 2 seed in the West, cuz an Ant KD team will either be amazing or completely explode on its head. But I think that the Rockets are just a great team in the wrong time.
Well, I think that'll just about do it. That was some great deep analysis of the NBA playoffs so far. I'm Ben Oppenheimer, along with my co-host George Fugatakis and Angel Duracet, talking about what's in store for these playoffs. We'll see. And we'll be back next week. You've been listening to WFUV's Pick and Pod.